Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Matter of the Heart, where we bring you heartfelt, educational, and positive stories, all to elevate your spirit. I'm your host, Carol Olivia. I'm wondering, listeners, what does visualizing have to do with money? Did you ever visualize money, maybe at the end of a goal, you know, at the end of the running track, so to speak, you know? Can you see it? Did you ever see it in front of you and embrace it in the depth of your heart? And what can you be grateful for with this? And what are the 9 money rules millionaires use? The unconventional ones. I find that fascinating. Well, there's so much to talk about. I've just mentioned a few of the topics. Today's guest in the Matter of the Heart is Joel Solomon. He is the author of The 9 Money Rules Millionaires Use and the best-selling author of Mindful Management. Joel is a prosperity coach helping others to overcome obstacles, and I'm sure he's going to talk about that in the show. He's an award-winning speaker, chartered financial analyst. He has appeared on TV with CEO Money and has been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, Newsday Magazine, U.S. News and World Report Magazine, and interviewed in Forbes on is it Bloomberg Radio, I believe, right, Joe?
Correct, and thanks so much for having me, Carol. It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you for being here. You have a beautiful background, Joel. So I'm just curious, because the Matter of the Heart certainly is centered around intuition and the matter of the heart, you know, the heart, the intuition, et cetera. How can intuition play into this as far as making money, Joel? I'm so curious.
It's a great question, Carol, and I'd like to start off, first of all, by saying how grateful I am for my daughters, Lauren and Morgan, who have taught me unconditional love. So that's a matter of the heart as well.
Yeah. And
so let's talk about intuition, because it's such a critical part in all of our lives, and yet, you know, we hear about a woman's intuition, but all of us have really strong intuition that we don't tap into. I think most people don't tap into on a daily basis. And my clients ask me, you know, Joel, how can you develop your intuition?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, look, it's just like any other muscle, right? So you know, I used to go to the gym and wanted to get my biceps bigger, and I did these bicep curls, you know, exercise. So exercise your intuition every chance you get. You're literally making 1,000 decisions every single day. So why not just a few times use your intuition? So I'm here in New York, and I get into Manhattan all the time, and I'm on the subway platform, and the local train's sitting there, and the express is coming in a few minutes. So what do? Do I wait for the express, or do I take the local? Use your intuition. What's your gut feel? What's your intuition telling you? And I play this game with my daughters all the time. We're on vacation and we're in the hotel, and there's the elevator bank, and there's 4 elevators. I say, don't look. Which one's coming first? You know, trust your intuition. And I found, literally, while I was managing money, I managed money at Citigroup as a hedge fund manager, and then I had my own hedge fund, that if I didn't trust my intuition, I either lost money or I made less money than if I had trusted my intuition. And it's amazing. I could do analysis of the stock for weeks and weeks. And then my gut feel was saying, you know, either buy it or don't touch it. And when I didn't listen, it was not good.
So obviously what you're saying, linking with what you're saying, Joel, is that intuition is very powerful. And sometimes we might not embrace it as much as we should. So relating with that, you have a great book. How does that play into, like you mentioning stocks, or, you know, into money in general?
Yeah, because I think it, I give the example as well about one particular stock in the book about AIG. And AIG, American International Group, was a company that went under very big difficulties in the financial crisis. And in early 2008, we had done our analysis and we knew that it was overvalued. So we started betting that it was going to go down. So we shorted the stock. Shorting just means that you're betting it's going to go down. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And a couple of months later, my analyst came to me and said, Joel, based on the new analysis, it's going back up. And so I looked at it. I talked to him about it. And I agree. My intellect agreed with him. But my intuition said, it's going lower. But I listened to my intellect, I listened to my analyst, and we got out. And then just a couple of days later, 2 days later, it's down 10%. Now, if you annualize that 10%, that's like 10 times your money over a year. And my intuition was still screaming at me, it's going lower, it's going lower. So we got back in. We shorted it again. We bet it was going to go down again. And 4 months later, because I trusted my intuition, we made 60% on our money. So there are ways to use your intuition to make money. Now, it's all. I also teach my clients about beliefs. Mm-hmm. Right? What's your belief in this particular investment? You can do all the analysis in the world, but rule number one is when you believe. You know, we talked about visualizing is rule number four, but rule an intuition is rule number two. But believing in what you've done in anything, believing in starting a business, believing in, you know, this podcast having like a million people listening to it, you know, in just a few months, everything is about your belief, right? And if you believe that things are not going to work out, like you make this investment and then you're already doubting it. You know, I tell my clients, if you're not a 7, 8, 9, or 10 on your level of belief, you know, where 1 is massive doubt, there's no way I'm going to make money, and 10 is absolute faith, I know I'm going to make money. If you're not a 7, 8, 9, or 10, don't invest, because your belief level is critical to making money. And mm-hmm. what's going to happen if your belief level is low is you're going to be selling when you should be buying or buying when you should be selling.
Mm-hmm. I would think, Joel, if your belief level is low, then fear might kick in with that as well. You know, exactly. less security with what you're doing and less faith with what you're doing.
Absolutely. Fear becomes a big part of it. So I have, you know, I think it was chapter three, when I said choose faith over right. fear, because I, in my life, had a lot of not so great experiences and, you know, personal experience related to other people. And now I know that when I choose faith over fear, that, you know, because of law of attraction, I'm creating that in my life. So if I choose to believe that everyone or almost everyone I meet in my life is kind and considerate and caring and giving and thoughtful, then what happens? More and more kind, giving, thoughtful, giving people appear in my life. And so you can choose faith or you can choose fear. You can choose to believe that everyone out there is out to get you. And law of attraction, you're going to get more of those people come into your life.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's fascinating. And then with that, you have a chapter as far as gratefulness. I think it's chapter 7. What can you be grateful for?
Yeah, this is rule number 6, I believe, in the 9 money rules. Actually, no, sorry. Rule number 5. Rule number 6 is giving. So yeah, being grateful mm-hmm. is actually, I found in my life that, you know, you can be choosing gratitude. And I actually started a gratitude journal after I read a book called How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast by Sandra Forster out of Australia in 2012. And she talked about a gratitude journal. And I started this gratitude journal in 2012, writing down 5 things I'm grateful for every morning and 5 things I'm grateful for every night. And, you know, prior to that, before I'd go to sleep, I'd run over through my head all the things I didn't do right that day, all the, you know, being a perfectionist as I was, it was, well, you know, had a good day, but I could have done this better, that better. And so you're focused on what you did wrong and what you don't want to happen, or you're worrying. And I tell my clients now, worry is just negative future planning. So mm-hmm. think about what you do want to happen. And when you're doing that by writing down things you're grateful for. So every night, write down five things you're grateful for. And I say in the book, Martin Seligman, who's a best-selling author and psychiatrist, did this study. He actually, he did the study where he connected electrodes to the brain, and he had people write down before they went to sleep, I think it was three things they were grateful for, and then why they were grateful for them. And after the study for 30 days, he found that the people who had done this, their brain synapses actually expanded, and there was this brain elasticity. They were becoming happier, mm-hmm. and their brains were actually expanding. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a scientific reaction to gratitude, that you're actually becoming more grateful, happier. And wouldn't we all like to be happy 24/7? So there's actually scientific studies done of the benefits of writing down three to five things you're grateful for every night.
Mm. Yes, Dr. Bernie Siegel, who's a guest on my show frequently, has spoken of that. So gratefulness, Joel, for you is also what I'm connecting with is, well, it creates more positive energy. It could even be better for the immune system.
Absolutely.
So anything
Absolutely.
That looks negative, we could turn around and say, well, there's something positive out of it. You know, we balance it out.
Absolutely. I think in Mindful Money Management, my first book, I say from bad things come good things, and from awful, terrible things come amazing, great things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people will say there's no such thing as negative things. I don't know if I go that far, but, you know, some people like Mike Dooley, who gave me a testimonial for this book, and I quote a lot in the 9 Money Rules. He says, you know, life is just an adventure, and there's no such thing as bad things. It's just experiences. But, you know, I'll say from the bad things come great things, because I know in my life, you know, I've been divorced twice, and I tell people, look, I create my life. I'm responsible for all of it. And I've learned a lot. My second wife has taught me a ton about how to treat other people, how to be a good soul. And I think I'm a much better person now because I met her. Obviously, I have two amazing kids from her as well. But, you know, she taught me a lot about how to be a better soul.
That's great. That's beautiful. So if I was going to have some money in my hands right now, whatever it is, how would you look at it, Joel, physically speaking and spiritually speaking?
Yeah, I say money is just energy. It's just energy. And, you know, we put money on a pedestal. You know, there's all these subconscious beliefs, things we were taught about money growing up between age 0 and 10. And they may or may not be true. It's not truths. They're just beliefs, mm-hmm. right? So for me, money is energy. And, you know, I talk about giving. It's really important. Some people say, oh, I'm a great saver. I just save and save and save. I save all my money. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be good, or it may be really, really bad, because if you're not giving, you're not putting that money out into the world. Money is just energy. You're not letting it flow. If you're hoarding it and just accumulating it, well, that's not good either. Right. So I've learned from my history that just saving and not giving is not helpful. So you want to give it out into the world. Money is just energy. And by putting that money out into the world, you're changing your mindset. You're saying, subconsciously to yourself, I have plenty to spare and share. Mm-hmm. And by giving as little as a few percent to charities, you're creating this mindset of abundance and prosperity. And so you're shifting your mindset by doing these little things, believe it or not.
No, I can understand that. And you're shifting the ego.
Absolutely.
It's not the attachment. I mean, some people are very attached to money. I know somebody, the money's, I think it's in her heart, you know, right. You know, it takes away the heart. So, as you look, is what you're saying is money is energy, and I think maybe even freedom. I mean, we're free anyway, but maybe it allows us the way we look at it to be freer.
Yeah, again, I say financial freedom is a mindset, right? So you can be financially free without having a ton of money.
Right.
But I mean, for me, my definition of financial freedom is doing what I love, with whom I love, where I love, for as much time as I love doing it, with the as much time as I want spending with the ones I love. So that's my definition of financial freedom. Imagine, you know, you're doing it. You know, I'm prosperity coaching a few hours a day, and I'm doing it on the island of Maldives, and I'm doing a workshop there with my kids are there, my family's there, and I got, you know, 50 close friends and people who I'm helping become financially free. That is, to me, the definition of financial freedom.
Right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, maybe not to be attached to the word money, but maybe energy freedom.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly.
You know, a different concept. So let's see. I'm going to look at a few more chapters, Joel.
Yeah, I wanted to discuss visualizing because you started out by talking about that. Visualizing, I have 6 specific steps in my book. It's very simple, but visualizing is really, really powerful because we have 60,000 thoughts a day. Mm-hmm. And for the average person, 35,000-40,000 negative. Mm-hmm. And so 15,000 to 20,000 positive. But the really great thing, as Mike Dooley says, is the positive thoughts are 100 to 1,000 times more powerful than the negative thoughts. So spend 3 to 5 minutes a day thinking the positive thoughts purposely. So visualizing, 6 steps, very simple. First, pick a time during the day you're gonna do it. I recommend not doing it right before you go to sleep. You'll probably just fall asleep. Don't do it right after you wake up in bed. But pick a time, don't do it in bed, and pick a place. So pick a time, pick a place, pick the amount of time you're going to do it for. So 3 to 5 minutes, pick an exact, set an alarm for 4 or 5 minutes. The fourth step is to write down before you start approximately three dreams and desires. What do you want to happen in your life? What's a big dream? What's a big desire? The fifth step is really critical. It's from Wayne Dyer's Wishes Fulfilled. He said, make your future dream a present reality by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. Make your future dream a present reality by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So that is, if you could feel the feeling now while you're visualizing it, you know, feel that feeling of having that house, that dream house, or that dream car, or going on that dream vacation, or spending that quality time with the ones you love, as much time as you want. You know, if you could feel the feeling now before mm-hmm. it's actually happened, mm-hmm. that's creating it in your life. And the sixth step, which I have a hard time with, but it would be great if you could do this too, is to picture yourself in the scene. You know, picture yourself on the island of Maldives, or picture yourself in your dream car driving it. So those are the 6 steps of visualizing, and do it 3 to 5 minutes a day. Listeners, do it 3 to 5 minutes. That's all it takes. You can find 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, you brush your teeth for 3 to 5 minutes a day. This is more important. I'm not saying don't brush your teeth, but 3 to 5 minutes. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think that's doing to the individual, Joel? Mentally and spiritually by the visualization.
It's elevating your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all these different emotional guidance scales, and on the emotional guidance scale, 1 is the happiness, the joy, the ecstasy, the passion. And the goal obviously would be to be in that state as often as possible. But what you're doing is just raising your vibration. Mm-hmm. And when you're vibrating higher frequencies, it's just law of attraction. You want to align with the high frequencies, because then you're creating more and more of that experience in your life. So that's what you're doing. You're creating that energy And that energy is going to flow out into the world. And law of attraction is just, you're aligning that energy with yourself. If you're just one big ball of happiness all day, every day, then more and more happiness flows to you. And it won't matter in what and how it does. Like the money will flow, the experience will flow, the people, the career, the relationship you want, all that will come if you're vibrating happiness all day, every day.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. And what would you say to somebody, Joel? They said, well, money makes you happy. You've heard that expression.
So I actually just gave a speech last week. Can money buy you happiness, or can happiness buy you money? Mm-hmm. And I truly believe it's the latter. Happiness buys you money, right? And we just discussed this. So I actually teach about creating the happiness now, because so here's the story. I start out, the rule number three is, can happiness buy you money? And the answer obviously is yes. And I believe this is chapter five in my book. So rule number three is chapter five, be happy and become financially free. So what happened was, I was literally in tears on July 1st, 2015, as I was on the Metro North station coming into Manhattan while I was managing my hedge fund. I was literally in tears, in pain, because one of the stocks we owned in the hedge fund portfolio, it was going to get acquired, and we were betting it was going to go down. We were short, and it was actually going to be up 30% that day. And I was sick to my stomach, because, you know, I was managing money for my investors. They had entrusted me with their money, and I was failing them. I felt like a failure that day. And so I could have, like, just been in that state for days, like really upset, really, you know, just sad, depressed. So I put on a song by the Five Stair Steps called Ooh Child. Ooh Child, things are going to get easier. Ooh Child, things are going to get better. And someday. And I put that on my headphones as I was on the train into Manhattan. And then I walked into my office on 54th and 6th. And I took off my headphones, had my, you know, my colleagues listen to it. And then I started thinking, how can I, like, this helped. Like, I wasn't crying. Okay. So to put on a good front, because I wasn't feeling great, but what else can I do to make myself feel better unconditionally? Because I was living a conditional life in 2015 up to that point. If I lost money for my investors, I was sad. And if I made money, I was happy. So I was living on conditional happiness. So I said, okay, what can I do? So I started writing down a list. I like to jog. I like to exercise, go to the gym. I like to spend time with my daughters. I like to play games with them. I like to have fun. And I like to, you know, hike and ski and play tennis. And so I made a list. I like to listen to uplifting songs. And so I made a list of songs that I like to listen to that make me feel better. I like to dance, and I like to read. Maybe I flip open a book to an inspiring quote from Mike Dooley in his book, Infinite Possibilities, or just open up any book and just start reading it, make me feel better. And so travel, have a big passion for traveling. So maybe think about being in the place. So I wrote all these things down, and I started doing more of them in July of 2015. And July wasn't the best month of my life managing money, but August and September, in August, the stock market was down almost 7%, and we made 3%. We outperformed by 10% in just 1 month in August, and that continued in September. And I truly believe that because I was doing these happy habits, that just I was in a better state of mind and things weren't bothering me. Oh, meditation is another one. I didn't write down meditating or giving. Those are another two couple of things I was doing. Started meditating religiously in July of 2015 every day. So all these things made me in a better mood, made me happy. And then lo and behold, like, everything started flowing. Relationships, more, you know, personal relationships and professional relationships, and then the money as well. So I really truly believe that the happiness and the happy habits caused all these things to happen.
I think what happened also, I'm picking up, and this is probably what you're saying, is no matter what happens in our journeys, we still have the momentum of a belief system, you know, and that belief system connects, I think, to our heart, you know.
Absolutely. So you have a choice, right? All day, every day, to listen to your heart or listen to your head, right? You have a choice. Mm-hmm. And I know for most of my career, I was listening to my head, but I truly believe, you know, listen to your heart and you have a choice. You have a choice all day, every day to choose to be happy or sad. It's mm-hmm. your choice. If someone's screaming at you, you can still, you know, put on a song, walk away and, you know, do a meditation, do a visualization, do something that makes you feel good. And then lo and behold, oh my God, that doesn't affect you.
Balance it out. You know, always balance. That's one of the wisdoms, I think, of life. You know, that's nature. You know, balance it out. Well, this has been great. Thank you so, so very much, Joel Salomon. This is a different insight we've learned, Joel, about money. You connected to the spirituality of it. Gratefulness, visualization.
Yeah, it's huge. I'd also, Carol, like to give you a listen. I'd like to give 5 books away, 5 of the 9 money rules. To anyone, if you put my contact information, I'll give the first 5 who respond free copies of my book.
Okay. All right. That's fine, Joel. Well, you gave your contact information. You have your website, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. So I'll give it again. So it's essay. It's Solomore, or it's either Joel Salomon. That's probably easier.
All right.
Or joelsolomon.com or Solomore, SALAURMOR.com.
Okay, very nice. Thank you so much, Joel. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. This was a great pleasure. I really, really appreciate your time. And I hope we connect again soon, Carol.
I'm sure we will. I already have some ideas for you. And by the way, Joel, do you have any tips in any stocks?
So what's your belief level?
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
You've been listening to the guest is Joel Salomon. An interesting book, which I recommend everyone, is The 9 Money Rules Millionaires Use, Only the Unconventional Ones. Very interesting book, a different slant on money, which we always use or say, but maybe we even take it for granted. You know, there's some depth to it, you know, other aspects of looking at it, feeling it, touching it, visualizing it, be grateful for it. You've been listening to The Mat of the Heart. I've been your host, Carol Olivia, and we always really appreciate you listeners for listening to the show, The Matter of the Heart. Thank you.